This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. Y'all are looking good and you're green today, many of you. We are in the final Sunday in our series on the last words of Jesus from the cross. And just briefly looking back, we have heard Jesus extend mercy to the criminal. Remember his words to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We heard Jesus give comfort and community to his mother and the beloved disciple, "Woman, here is your son. Here is your mother." We heard Jesus cry out in anguish to his father, "Why have you forsaken me?" And cry out in desperation, "I am thirsty." Next Sunday, as Patrick mentioned, we're going to enter into Holy Week, the week of Jesus' passion, his suffering. And from the cross, Jesus will utter the words, "Father, forgive them." And in our Good Friday service, we'll hear his victorious cry from the cross, "It is finished." But today, we're going to pause at these last words that are recorded in Luke's gospel. Before Luke has Jesus saying these words, he actually paints a picture for us. He tells us that in the middle of the day, the sky darkened. Some translations actually say that the sun, its light failed, as if to say that all creation was shaken by this holy and tragic moment. Darkness in Luke's gospel is often a sign of evil at work and of the darkness and lostness of the human heart. It gives us a picture of what was happening on that day. Luke also mentions that the veil in the temple, which separated the Holy of Holies, that is the most inner part of the temple where God's presence was known to dwell, was separated, this from the rest of the temple and from the rest of the world, actually. This veil was torn in two, possibly a sign of God's heartbreak over the tragedy of human pride and of the rejection of Jesus, his Messiah. Possibly also a sign of the expansiveness of what Jesus' death would eventually accomplish, you know, opening the way for Jew and Gentile to respond to God's mission without any barriers to repent and believe this good news. And we see even little hints of this beginning right after Jesus says these last words, because it records that a Roman centurion, a pagan, actually acknowledged Jesus' innocence and his righteousness right there on the spot. Even the crowds who had been jeering and criticizing, it says that they changed their tone in response to what Jesus had said and what they had witnessed. So there's this little signal here, right after Jesus' words, that point to us to the power of the cross and Jesus' words. What does he say? Well, in this dark moment, Jesus cries out from the cross. It's a powerful prayer to the Father. He says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And this is a prayer that had significance for Jesus, and it's a prayer, I think, that has significance for all of us today. What did it mean for Jesus? Well, it was a final prayer for him, his last prayer. Right after he uttered this prayer, it says Jesus breathed his last. What was he saying to the Father in this prayer? Well, like many other prayers of Jesus, there's this direct connection to the Psalms, and I think it's something we ought to pay attention to. Hopefully you've noticed this. You know, especially in the last couple of weeks, that Jesus was so steeped in the scriptures, especially the Psalms, that it was natural for him to pray the words of scripture all the time, but particularly in this moment. Allowing God's word to seep into our hearts and minds, you know, it shapes our spirits over time, but I've found even personally that doing so actually gives us words to pray when we can't find the words. And I think Jesus experienced that here. And so he prays to his Father, and he echoes the words of Psalm 31 that Carolyn just read for us. And I just want us to imagine, again, these words on the heart of Jesus as he hung from the cross. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock, my refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. You know, while last week's prayer emphasized Jesus experiencing forsakenness, this prayer is different. You know, it is a prayer of connection, a prayer of intimacy. It is a prayer of trust, and a key word for us today, surrender. Psalm 31 was well known. In the Psalms, if you look it up, it says it's directed to the director, or it's given to the director of music, which tells us that this psalm was used in worship. People would have sung it, known it, and Jesus would have known it and prayed it his whole life. One commentator actually suggests that Psalm 31 was a bedtime prayer taught to children as they got ready to go to sleep. So you can imagine Mary, the mother of Jesus, teaching Jesus each night as he closed his eyes to go to sleep, this prayer, into your hands, I commit my spirit. And now, as Jesus prepares to close his eyes in death, he's recalling this prayer once again. And it's a powerful moment, you know, when there was nothing else left, when the end was in sight, when the suffering was great, Jesus leaned on the Father, his rock, his refuge, his deliverer, and he prays this prayer of complete trust. He prayed this prayer facing the end, entrusting his life to the Father with the confidence that death would not be the end of his story. You know, over the years, I've had the privilege of sitting with a few people who have faced their last days and hours in this life. And some of them, many of them, have had this type of prayer and posture on their lips and on their hearts. And it is remarkable. You can feel them drawing strength from the faithfulness of the Father. You know, I think there's a word for us here. You remember back on Ash Wednesday when we started this journey of Lent, we were reminded that Ash Wednesday and Lent is an invitation, maybe even a challenge, to take a hard, honest look at our lives and remember that we are finite, that we are limited. Remember the words that were spoken over us. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. As uncomfortable as this is the truth. Hebrews 9 reminds us it's appointed for mortals to die once and then judgment. There is a shadow-like inevitability to death. But Jesus was able to face it, approach it, not in fear, but in faith and confidence. Why? Because he entrusted himself into the hands of his Father. And I think there's an ultimate, maybe even an eternal sense in which this prayer can, when the time comes for all of us, become our prayer as well. Both for ourselves and even for those we love and those we lose in this life. Into your hands, Lord, we commit our spirits. You know, we release our future into the hands of God. You know, in the liturgy of the church, there's this prayer that is spoken over a person at the time of death, and it's prayed again at the funeral, and it's right before the committal. And the prayer goes like this. It says, into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, and we say their person's name. acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him or her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. I mean, this is a prayer of surrender. This is a prayer of letting go. Because we literally cannot hold on anymore. And so we have to pray, into your hands. I commit my spirit, Lord. We have nothing else but you, Lord, so we confess that we are yours. We don't fully understand or know what's on the other side of the veil. So the only thing we can do is entrust ourselves to your mercy. And you know, we do this in confidence because part of the good news of the gospel is that death is not the end. And when this life comes to a close, God has more, much, much more. Amen? And so like Jesus, this prayer can become our prayer of ultimate trust into your hands. But it is not just a prayer to die by, it is also a prayer to live by, day by day. Because, you know, trust and surrender to God was not just the way that Jesus ended his life. It was animating his entire life, every day. In fact, you could argue that Jesus was able to pray this prayer at death because he had prayed it in life. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. It was a daily reality for Jesus. And we see evidence of that in his life and ministry. You know, he often went away to be with the Father, just to give himself to the Father. Jesus once said, "For I have come not to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me." And you might remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus was arrested, remember his prayer? "Not my will, yours be done." Surrender was the orienting posture of Jesus' life. This daily prayer of trust and submission. And because of this, because he lived this way, because he prayed this way, he was able to embody the kingdom wherever he went. He was empowered to speak truth to power, to heal the sick, to preach good news. Yes, even to go to the cross, not in fear, but in faith, because Jesus lived this daily reality of surrender, of letting go, of trusting his Father moment by moment. I think we see this in the life of other people throughout Scripture, you know, this posture of trust and surrender. I just did a sort of retelling or recalling in my own mind of some of the stories of Scripture, and I thought of Abraham. Back in Genesis 12, Abram at this point, remember God says to him, "Go to the place that I will show you." Not like, "Here's the map, here's where I'm sending you," but like, "Trust me. Here's where I'm going to send. I'll tell you. Just go." And the text says that Abram went as the Lord had told him. "Into your hands, I commit my spirit." I think of the great story in Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is what they said to the king. "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us. Into your hands, I commit my spirit." Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke chapter 1, the angel has visited her, tells her, "You're going to bear the Son of God." What does Mary pray? "May it be unto me, according to your word. Into your hands, I commit my spirit." Stephen, the first Christian martyr, Acts chapter 7, this is what it says. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. What did he pray? "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Into your hands. Father, into your hands." You know, this way of trust, this way of living surrender has been expressed, I think, in ordinary people in extraordinary ways throughout history. I have to mention St. Patrick today, right? We just have to. Captured, you may not know the story. I heard somebody earlier was like, "I've celebrated St. Patrick's Day. I've never heard his story." Let me tell you in about 10 seconds. Patrick was captured in Britain as a young person, and he was taken to Ireland. He was sold into slavery, and he finally escaped. And when he did, he went back to Britain, and while he was there, while he was in slavery, he encountered the love of God in a way that changed and transformed his life. He went back to Britain, he started to study, become a deacon and a priest, and while he was there, he began to hear this call: come back, walk among us. It was a call to go back to the very people that had captured him, that had enslaved him, that had mistreated him. And it was a call to become a missionary to the Irish people. He later became a bishop. He planted churches and monastic communities all over Ireland. And here's what Patrick wrote in his confession. This is from later in his life. Listen to his words. He said, "I can today with confidence offer my soul to Christ my Lord. Whatever comes about for me, good or bad, he has shown me that I can put my faith in him without wavering and without end." And then listen to this. "Now I commend my soul to my most faithful God. For him I perform the work of an ambassador despite my less than noble condition." Do you hear it? Into your hands. Into your hands. What if this prayer, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," became the prayer of your daily life and mine? How would it change and reorient the way we walk through life? A prayer that animates and directs our lives. This posture of surrender in big things and in small things. In all things. The New Testament commends us to this, calls us to this kind of life. James 4 says, "Submit yourself to the Lord." I love the way that Eugene Peterson translates Romans 12:1. Maybe you've heard this translation. He says, "Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him." Into your hands. You know, surrender is not about giving up as though God is like twisting our arm, you know, waiting for us to say, "Uncle, like, come on, you need to surrender here." God is not interested in coercing us into surrender, no. Nor is surrender kind of like, you know, just shrugging our shoulders and saying, "Well, God's going to do what God's going to do, so I surrender." I don't think that's what it is either. I think it's more like this beautiful act of faith. It's coming to the peaceful conclusion that we cannot control our own lives, or certainly not the lives of others. We can't control outcomes in this world. But we realize that we can let go in such a way that we are free, free to live, knowing that no matter what happens, we are safe in the hands of the Father because he loves us and he's good. I think the saints throughout history and Jesus himself show us that this way of trust, this way of surrender is the way of joy. It is the way of freedom. In his book, Ruthless Trust, Brennan Manning writes, "Childlike surrender in trust is the defining spirit of authentic discipleship." Trust. So friends, we're invited today to live this prayer. "Into your hands, Lord, I commit my spirit." Every moment of every day, as we go about the daily mundane activities of our lives, placing ourselves in God's good hands. When we're about to enter a stressful meeting at work, you know, or we're facing a big decision in life about our career or our life or where we're going to live or whatever, into your hands. When we face darkness, despair, unknowns, into your hands. When we face a tough diagnosis, an uncertain future, a crisis in our family with our kids or our parents or our other loved ones. When things seem to be falling apart, into your hands. This way of surrender, it's the way Jesus invites us to live. And I think that when we do, we will find the Father to be, as the psalmist describes, our rock of refuge, our strong fortress, our faithful God. I want to close with this prayer of surrender, and I want to pray it for you, and I invite you to make it yours today as well. It's called the Wesley Covenant Prayer. It goes like this: Lord, I'm no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen.